Want to go right out to our next guest and appreciate her waiting, and that is Susan J. Demas, a Capital Chronicles columnist. She understands whenever there is that kind of a grant from Washington and there are local jobs associated with it, we need to get that news out there. Hello, Susan. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Just fine. I was reading your latest piece here about throwing the election to the Republicans because the liberals and the Democrats, worst enemy in many cases, not the Tea Party, but themselves.
Yeah, you see a lot of Democrats and liberals are very demoralized right now, and a good chunk of them are not planning to vote in November. Democratic turnout is always higher in presidential years, so is Republican, but it's more pronounced for Democrats. But this year in particular, people just don't seem to be too excited to get to the polls.
I have seen more than one poll which says that people are very unhappy with the administration, but even unhappier with some of the Republican leadership. The difference, as you mentioned, is the Republicans are in line now waiting for the polls to open, and the Democrats, maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of disappointment with the Obama administration and Democratic leaders that they didn't go far enough on health care, the stimulus, they didn't finish climate change legislation. And, you know, all of that is understandable. But, you know, the right-wing base has been very disappointed that, you know, we haven't seen an outright ban on abortion, you know, as well. And yet they still seem to be able to turn out in elections. With Democrats, they get very disillusioned very quickly. I mean, we saw it with Bill Clinton, with Jimmy Carter, Lyndon Johnson. Who knows if Kennedy, he probably would have seen it too, had he been able to run for another term.
We know what the right thinks of the Obama administration. If Barack Obama said it was Friday, they would probably argue with that. But in terms of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party and those to the left of Barack Obama's policies, what did they expect?
Well, I think people really expected that things were going to change overnight, that suddenly we would reverse course with the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan completely, even though that was never on Obama's agenda, that we'd suddenly see a reversal of every economic policy, we'd take on the recession, it would be over very quickly, we'd have some sort of healthcare system that would resemble that of Europe, climate change legislation would sail through. And, you know, that would be a great agenda for, you know, a good chunk of the population. They would like to see that. But that's not the way government works. It doesn't work that way no matter who's in power.
Right.
You know, we can't do everything all at once very quickly, which I think is something that Tea Partiers are going to discover very quickly after November, and they'll start to get very frustrated.
Right. Is there an issue, Susan, out here which the Democrats could seize in what's left of this election cycle and turn it around and mobilize the base?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I would recommend them doing is seizing on these expiring tax cuts for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
That's very unpopular with most voters. Despite a concerted campaign by people at the Wall Street Journal. Most people recognize that they're not rich and they're not benefiting, and they're pretty resentful of the few people who have done well in this recession. So that would be a nice populist message.
These Bush tax cuts that we've heard so much about are going to expire, correct?
Right.
Unless something changes. Why could the Democrats not let them expire and then have in their place, ready to go, what they would call the Obama middle-class tax cuts, and then make the Republicans go up or down on that? And I think it would be pretty clear who is supporting whom.
Well, you know, I would think that that would be a great piece of advice for Democratic consultants to be giving Congress right now. I'm not sure that that's where they will ultimately go with it. But that would be a good issue. The other thing I think that Democrats could do from a purely political standpoint is make an example of some of the really extreme, crazy candidates out there in Republican land, like this Christine O'Donnell, who beat a Joe Schwartz Republican in Delaware for the Senate nomination. Mm-hmm. I mean, this lady is against masturbation. She doesn't think that AIDS victims should be called that, and we give too much money to the disease. She's really out there. So why not make her the face of the Republican Party and give it a shot? I mean, you know, people might be sick of the Democrats, but I don't think they really want to go as far as electing someone like that.
Very interesting to see what's going to happen over the last couple of months here we have. But in terms of getting voters out, how much of that just comes back to the party machinery, whether organized labor can get their people to the polls? And we know the Republicans are going to turn out. We're just not sure who else is.
Yeah, I mean, get out the vote is very important. What I would say to disaffected progressives is, why don't you get up and propose some alternatives and try and push the Democratic leadership more in your direction rather than sit it out when they're not going to listen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get involved. Certainly that's what the Tea Partiers did on the right, and they've certainly had a whole bunch of success.
Right, and Karl Rove the other night was very outspoken, I thought, and critical of Christine O'Donnell, and basically said she wasn't qualified. But the next day, he's talking about giving her a contribution, and you know who he would vote for, given the choice.
Yeah, he said that she has some nutty ideas and is unelectable. And then he got browbeaten by Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh, who run the Republican Party now, evidently. And he decided that he'd like to still work, so Christine O'Donnell was okay.
We know who runs the Republican Party, at least who has the most power. Who runs the Democratic Party, Susan?
Well, I would say the president does.
You would think that, but if he can't mobilize enough Democrats to get out to the polls, it seems like maybe no one is running it. It's just kind of running in place.
There's some of that. I mean, off-year elections are hard for the party in power, and especially when you have such a deep recession. But, you know, it's hard to expect superhuman things out of anybody. I think it would be very hard for the Democrats to do well under any circumstances, but certainly I think more of an effort should be made, you know, to try and offset some of the losses.
When you see the numbers, 14% of Americans living below the federal poverty line, and the top 1% in the United States making such an extraordinarily large percent of the money here in this country, where's the outrage?
Well, you know, a lot of people have decided that government is the problem. They hate Wall Street, but government has become the symbol of everything that went wrong with the financial meltdown. And I think Democrats do have themselves to blame for not making a coherent case about the market factors at work. But, you know, when you have these extreme circumstances and so many people suffering, they're going to turn against who's in power, and that's what you're seeing now.
Susan J. Demas, a columnist, writes Capital Chronicles, and you can read that in newspapers online. You can read it on MLive, where I usually see it. Susan, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
We will be right back, and we're going to talk with Brian Beverly of Black Men Incorporated of Greater Lansing and some efforts they are making to improve the educational system here in our city. We'll be right back with that and more. Ebling & You, 1320 WILS.